across all time zones covering both hemispheres. Time for another installment of Authors First on the Artists First Radio Network. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We've been doing this, I don't know, going into our 24th year now. And tonight, our guest is a return guest. She's been with us several times, and hopefully will be back with us several more times as her career continues as a children's book author. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest. She's a Texas girl, and she loves animals. And you folks know that our station is huge into animal protection, animal charities, and watching over the welfare of those who can't watch over themselves. Were you one of those people, listeners, that always brought home stray dogs and injured cats and birds like I was? Well, so did our guest tonight. She's a graduate of the University of Texas at Dallas with a Bachelor's of Science in Biology and a minor in Business. She is a huge animal rights person. I don't know if she's an activist. Maybe that's not the word to use, but let's find out. She also knows pet CPR and is certified in that. Let's find out what that is, too. It's my pleasure to welcome back Pamela Folland. Hello, Pamela.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you back. You're one of the good ones. I've been looking forward to this show. Very much enjoyed your recent and past appearances on the station. You're one of the good ones, Pamela. So what's been going on?
Thank you. Well, yeah, I wanted to talk to you tonight about my latest picture book that came out last month. It is a picture book titled Megan Saves the Kittens, and it is a picture book based upon my first chapter book, Megan's Munchkin. So this is a 1,000-word book that summarizes what Megan, my 13-year-old heroine, did in Megan's Munchkin down to a 1,000-word picture book with real-life pictures of the kittens that I bottle raised at the ages that Megan is talking about. So teaching pet care and responsibility and how to care for kittens to a whole new audience, the preschool, kindergarten age group.
Excellent. Well, folks, let's do a little business here just in case. Some new listeners are tuning in tonight. We're checking you out, Pamela, that missed any of your previous broadcasts. Let's back up a little bit and talk a little bit more about you as a person. You're a certified dog trainer, and you're certified to teach pet first aid and CPR. As I described in the introduction, you've always been a huge advocate and lover of animals. Talk about your childhood, and what's the first pet you brought home? Do you remember?
Oh, I remember loving taking walks with my parents as young as 5, 6, 7 years old in the springtime and finding either bird eggs or little baby bird hatchlings on the street that had fallen out of the trees and convincing mom and dad that I could raise them, that I could hatch the bird egg, that I could save the hatchling. I mean, I just have a real heart when it comes to any animal that is by itself and needs care. I want to try and save them all. I remember seeing every stray dog and stray cat that was loose wanting to catch it and just being heartbroken if it would run away from me, because most pets, when they get out away from their owners and away from their house, they're not going to go to a total stranger. And so, yeah, I had a house full of pets. We had a dog, a cat. My first pet that was truly mine as I got 8 years old was a guinea pig that I named Gus. And I learned how to take care of him and learn responsibility and about pet care even more, because my mom and dad were real patient with teaching me and instilling in me that I cleaned Gus's cage the second I got home from school absolutely every day. That was the first priority. So I know I got my love of animals from them, and I think I'd have unlimited number of animals if I had unlimited resources and space.
Well, you still got time. We've had many times the actress Tippi Hedren You may remember her, ladies and gentlemen. She played the young lady, the subject of the movie, Hitchcock's movie, The Birds. She's been on several times now. She's got to be in her 80s now. But she owns Big Cat, a Big Cat rescue facility out there. And I think she said it cost her, was it $20,000 a month? It's some ridiculous amount of money that she has to raise every month. You know, big cats eat a lot of stuff. We're talking jaguars and tigers and cheetahs and panthers and things like that. You can imagine the amount of food that a number of those animals would eat. But so I think people like Tippi and people like our guest Pamela Follin, you're just born with that. I guess we hear from sociologists that if you identify a child who is cruel to animals, that's a very, very bad sign that that child will grow up to be less than the ideal person for our society. I don't know where I'm going with that, Pamela, but I don't know, but I'm just saying, you know, folks, we can identify people that are going to be brutal towards animals at a young age. I guess it's natural because people like you, Pamela, your parents knew right away that this was going to be a big portion of your life. Okay. How many is the book we're talking about tonight, Megan Saves the Kittens, is another book in your Megan's World series. Is this book number 6? Did I count right?
No, it's a picture book based upon book number 1 of Megan's World, Megan's Munchkins. Book number 1 in my Megan's World series.
Okay.
And this is Megan Saves the Kittens, the picture book, based upon that same story where Megan is describing in a 1,000-word picture book to preschool and kindergarten age group what she has to do to bottle rage and to save these kittens. But the cool thing about it is it has photos of my real-life kittens that I bottle raised over 6 years ago in the book at the ages that Megan is describing it so that readers can see how kittens grow and develop. Because bottle raising kittens is probably something not everyone gets to do or really knows how small and helpless these little kittens start off and how quickly they grow.
Oh, and how quickly they become quite ornery. That's their nature. I have looked at and read the book that we're talking about, folks, and I just want to say, if you've ever had kittens, boy, does this picture book bring back some memories. As you say, I don't know anybody that doesn't like kittens or puppies for that matter. And the fact that that you've kept the whole family. Well, tell us about the circumstances surrounding your discovery of these kittens.
Okay. Well, I was walking my dog about 6.5 years ago around the block in my neighborhood. And on the other side of the block, there on the corner house, there was a row of hedges, and we were walking, and I think I was even talking to my neighbor, and I all of a sudden I heard this little soft meow, and we have feral cats in the area, and my neighbor kind of blew it off and said, "Oh no, it's just one of the cats. It's okay." I said, "No, this is not a feral cat cry. This is a baby cry, baby kitten cry," and so I kind of, you know, listened really hard and tracked the sound, and in a box pushed up under the hedges on the, against this corner house was the litter of 4 kittens. And the little girl that I ended up naming Misty was the one on top of the heap of her brothers, head up in the air, just crying her little lungs out, and she's the one that I heard. And, you know, I picked her up, and having done dog training and teaching pet first aid classes for so many years, I knew that these kittens were severely dehydrated and needed help. So I scooped them up, and I brought them home, and they've been here ever since.
And it's trying to count as I was recalling memories, which your picture book jogged for me a lot of fond memories. I think I have had 11 I've raised 11 kittens, I think. It might be 12. My memory ain't as good as it used to be. Folks, if you've never raised a kitten, maybe it's something you should try. It is really, really a joyful thing. And then when you can raise four at the same time that are all siblings, I believe, Pamela, that now that you know you're 6 years into this, for pet owners that like they'll get one dog or one cat, they don't understand that in nature, these animals are social animals, and they would live amongst a group of other cats. And when you see, I have two 8-9-year-old kittens now. I call them kittens. They're 9. I found them alongside the highway. Two sisters. They are still as lovey-dovey, as sleep, you know, next to each other, cheek to cheek. And that's never changed. All these years, they still act. The relationship they have between each other is still as cute and cool and loving as it was when they were kittens. How have your cats responded?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my cats, they definitely love each other. They all sleep on the other side of my bed every night. I've got all four of them on the other half of the bed or on top of me or on my pillow. They're always with me. They're always with each other. They play and run up and down the stairs and love to interact and play with each other as well as just, sleeping together. I tease them that the only time that they say it's every kitten for themselves is when I pull out the crate to take one of them to the vet. Then they scatter in opposite directions like shrapnel. Like, we'll figure out who's gone later, but we all got to fend for ourselves.
Yeah, let's talk about that a minute. Obviously, you have to take your pets to a veterinarian. You have to get them their shots, ladies and gentlemen. You have to get them preferably, quote-unquote, fixed. In other words, spayed or neutered, because we have way too many stray cats. Do everybody a favor and make sure your cats don't become more cats, okay? We have plenty out there that need loving and caring. But where I was going with this is it's a traumatic experience for many cats just to go to the vet, just to be stuffed in the cat carrier and taken out in a car. Is there anything you do or any tips you might have to make that traumatic experience less traumatic?
The one product that I use that I really, really love is called the Feel-Away spray. That's a natural pheromone spray that is very calming and soothing for the pets, the cats in particular. And so I will spray the blanket or the towel that I'm going to put in the cat carrier down with the Feel-Away spray and then place it in the carrier and let it sit for 30 minutes before I get the cat in the carrier, and that seems to help. Another thing I have tried is doing like a lavender, just the simple lavender essential oils. I'll put that on the shelf sometimes because that's very calming and soothing for them. And the crazy thing, maybe it's because I've had my kittens from such a young age, 1 day old. The crazy thing I've found is if I talk to them as I'm driving to the vet, just the sound of my voice makes them at least not do that cry of, that I can't stand, that little help me cry. I'm scary and I'm upset. And it's just, to me, it's just like a baby cry. It just bothers me.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking, but you know it has to be done. I dread taking my cats to the vet. And sometimes my vet, by the way, here's a tip, ladies and gentlemen. My vet, when I bring in more than one at a time, I get a better price. I think the most we've ever taken at one time was four. Another way to save on what are becoming quite expensive veterinarian bills. It's getting to be like human medical care in many instances. But
Yeah. And back to your point on spaying and neutering, a fun fact that I learned when I was writing, I guess it was the fifth book, Megan's Challenge, where she was talking about the spay and neuter clinic. But fun fact I learned is that one female cat, do you know how many kittens that one female cat can have in a 7-year period of time?
in 7 years. Well, let's see. They can have 3 litters a year beginning at, I think, as early as 6 or 9 months old, if I'm not mistaken. So let's see. If they have 4, that's 12 times, I don't know, 12 times 7? 84? That's my guess. That's my rough guess.
You're really close, yeah. One female cat can produce close to 100 kittens across 7 year period of time. So think about that, how fast that will multiply if she has, you know, another one or two female kittens at 9 months old, let's say. That's going to grow astronomically. So that's just a fun fact for everyone to, when they think about spaying and neutering. Think of how many lives you're saving just by doing one spay or neuter procedure.
Now, it's if I at least where I'm from, it's less expensive to have a male cat neutered than it is to have a female cat spayed. Is that the case for you?
It is, yes.
And folks, there are, at least up here in Ohio where we are, there are wonderful organizations. The Angels for Animals is one in my neck of the woods that does wonderful work, and they try to get the price down to just a couple tens of dollars to have these procedures done because they're trying to do a good deed, and it's wonderful. Who cares if it's a little bit of a drive? You can save hundreds and hundreds of dollars. So hopefully there are things like that where you guys are from. Let's talk about, first of all, I have your cat Misty. I have a little female that looks dead like her. Well, not anymore. She's grown up, except for the blue eyes. It looks like the pictures in there, it looks like it could be a trick of light, but it looks like she's a little gray. I'd say she's a medium hair or a short hair, and she has blue eyes, and my goodness, is she gorgeous. Tell us about all of the kittens, their names, and something about their personalities.
Okay. Well, we're talking about Misty. So Misty is the only female of the litter. She is a gray and white tabby cat, and she was the vocal one. She was the one that led me to find them and discover them in the bushes. And pretty much she's the one that saved her brother's lives because they weren't saying anything, and she sure was hollering to get some attention. And she's still that way. She will come up and when I'm doing something, cooking dinner, doing something in the kitchen, and she knows I'm busy, she will sit behind me and she meows at me. I'll be like, Misty, I'm busy. And we have a whole conversation, her and I, going back and forth. Everything I say, she has a meow response for. So cute. And she's a very, very good. She seems to have a better prey drive and hunting drive because she loves to take, I have these little, they look like springs, little colorful, springy-looking cat toys. And she will go pick one up in her mouth, walk by her other brothers and show them, like, okay, look, guys, we're going to go play. She carries it into the water dish that's in my kitchen and drops it in the water dish. Her and her three brothers and her all sit in a circle around the water dish, and they essentially go bobbing for the spring with their paws. I've been trying to catch you on video for years because it is the funniest thing I've ever seen. But they stop what they're doing when the camera comes on.
She might be exhibiting motherly traits there.
Is that what it is?
Well, I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud, you know, how cats are. My cats bring so many things home. And this past summer, they brought me bats. They're all live, mind you, all live. Bats, all kinds of birds, robins, blue jays, sparrows. They brought me live squirrels. They brought me 5 live rabbits. Voles. Ever seen a vole, ladies and gentlemen? Looks like a big shrew. chipmunks. The bats are kind of creepy. I always just throw a towel over them, take them outside, and let them go. But anyway, I was just thinking of that because, you know, she's acting, being an only female, first of all, she's kind of got a tough life situation with those bigger brothers as they get older. But, okay, well, she is gorgeous, folks. You got to check out Misty. I don't know if you have a picture. Yes, I think you do because Folks, if you go to the
website. Diva on the cover.
Yeah, that's what I just reminded. If you go to PamelaFoland.com, it's on our homepage if you're listening live, or it's next to the archive link. You can see the cover of the book, and it has all of the cats, actually kittens, there, and you can see, you'll know right away which one's Misty. She's the gray one, and her brothers. Okay, before I waste too much time on Misty, tell us about her three brothers.
Okay, so Gizmo is a solid gray kitten, and he.
Wait! I had this wrong. Excuse me, then. I'm going to correct myself. I thought. You are correct. Gizmo is the all-gray kitten. I had that wrong, ladies and gentlemen. I was saying that was Misty. It's not. So I'm sorry for making that mistake. Thanks for correcting me.
Okay, that's okay. Misty's the gray tiger stripe, and Gizmo is the solid gray kitten. And Gizmo has always been the explorer. He's the one that, when I started letting them roam around rooms of the house as they got to be 4 or 5 weeks old, he was the one that would venture furthest away from his siblings, away from the towel and where I was. And he's very, very observant. Like, I bring home something and put a new decoration or a new anything up in the house on the shelf, whatever, he comes down the stairs and he looks around and he can spot it and he will stare at it for like a couple of minutes, just like making sure it's not going to jump off the shelf and bite him or something. I don't quite know what he's thinking, but he's very, very observant cat, and he's the explorer. He still is, even though he's also the one that is terrified of thunderstorms. He will be under the bed the second the first rumble of thunder is. I call him my kitty weather meter, because he knows when a storm is coming before there's even a rumble of thunder sometimes. So he's got some wild senses to him, and it's totally fascinating that these four cats are siblings, yet they have totally different personalities, so they're completely like people. And Peavy is the bigger of the gray and black, or the brown and black, I'm sorry, brown and black tiger stripe kitties. He's the kitten that is next to Misty, if you're looking at the cover of Megan Saves the Kittens. He has a little bit thinner face and a little bit lighter stripes on his face, and so that's how I'm able to tell him apart when they were babies. But he is the shy one. He has always been the last to join in. If any new toy that I bring into the house, he'll sit back and watch his three siblings play with it. Like, okay, I'm going to wait and see if they're okay playing with this before I join in. And so he still sits back. And if I have company over to the house, he's usually one of the last ones that the company sees. Everyone else may come down after a couple hours. So it'll take a couple more hours before Peavy comes downstairs. But he's always been a little bit shyer, a little bit more reserved than the other kitties. But he loves to play, loves to for me to chase, have the feather toy and whirl it around my body sitting on the floor. And he'll do that for as long as I'll twirl it. He's a character. And Chip is the kitten next to Gizmo on the cover of Megan Saves the Kittens. He was the runt of the litter when I found them. He was the tiniest of four of them. But now, he could not tell that he was that small, started off that small. He has a little bit bigger head and rounder face and darker face than Peavy. So to me, it's very, very easy to tell those two very similar looking kitties apart. And Chip, I've always called my dreamer. He will make me think I've got bugs or something on the wall, because he will literally sit and just be staring into space at the spot on the wall. And I'll look, or on the ceiling, and I'll look like, what's there, Chip? And there's nothing. And he's the one that's always in a window. I have cat beds and cat perches all next to every window in my house. And that is where Chip is. He loves to look out the window and daydream out the window. I think it's daydreaming anyway, because he just stares out the window, and there doesn't even have to be birds or squirrels or anything in the yard. He's just staring out the window, very, very content. And the funniest thing that is truly, truly a Chip habit is he is fascinated by the sound of a flushing toilet. He will literally jump up on the back tank of the toilet and wait for me to flush it. And then he gets down, as soon as I shut the lid of the toilet and flush it, he gets down on the seat and he chases his tail in circles on the lid of the toilet while the flushing sound is going on. As soon as the water stops, he stops. And if he gets in the mood, he'll sit on the toilet and meow for me to come flush the toilet.
I wonder if he spins in the same direction that the water is going.
No, he reverses. He goes both directions.
That's interesting.
I have watched him thinking, okay, is he going in the same direction? Nah, he's spinning in both directions. So,
you know.
Oh, and Gizmo, I forgot to tell you, Gizmo's crazy habit is he will jump up. He'll get up on the bathroom vanity when I'm getting ready in the morning, and he'll sit there, and then he jumps up on my shoulders, and he literally lays around my shoulders and neck like a kitty stall or a kitty scarf, and he rides all over on my shoulders all over the house. I walk up and down the stairs with him. He's just happy as a bird riding on my shoulders.
Well, you are their mother.
Yes.
They don't know another mother, and you will always be their mother.
Yep.
As part of the clan. They don't accept, in a situation like this, it's my opinion that cats just see you as part of their clan, not that they joined your clan. You know what I mean?
Right. They let me live here.
Yes, the...
And I had the winter before I found the four kittens, I had adopted another, he was 18. Salem was 18 months old. So I guess it was a year and a couple of months before I found the kitten. I had adopted an all-black cat that I named Salem from the shelter. And so he was about 18 months old when I found the kitten. And he had been the only cat. I mean, he had my dog and him played and wrestled and got along really well. But he had been the only cat for 18 months. And so when I brought home these kittens, of course, I didn't know their health. And so I kept them isolated from Salem and my dog to just make sure they didn't get anything either direction from each other.
Yeah.
But after the vet told me, okay, 2 weeks, and then if you're not seeing illness signs, then it's safe to let them start learning socialization. Well, Salem took on, and he still has the role of Papa Cat. He loves his kittens, because I swear he thinks they're his kittens. Because from the time I introduced them together, and they were two and a half weeks old when I started letting Salem come around them, he would sit there and he would lick the kittens head to toe. And when the kittens got a little bit older and started, you know, walking around and playing and stuff, they would come over to him and lower their head and walk into Salem, like, okay, and roll on their back and expose their tummy to Salem, like, okay, lick me. And they're 6 years old and Salem is 8 years old now, and they still do that, and Salem still licks them head to toe every time they come over and ask. So, I mean, it's really, really cool to see this dynamic. And Salem was so good when I had three, four, or five week old kittens running around the living room. He would help me. In fact, he actually completely took on the role of Papa Cat, because he would grab them by the scruff and carry them back to where I was he was heartbroken when they got too heavy and he couldn't do that anymore. He was such a good boy about accepting them and loving them.
Well, and that, just my opinion, I don't know for sure, of course, but I think that plays into the pride mentality, pride meaning group of cats, not the emotion, that he's the dominant male, just by virtue that he was the big cat and they were still kittens. That may change in future years, but, you know, now he has somebody to be in charge of. You know, he gets to play the role of the papa cat, you know, which he would be doing if these cats were feral in the wild.
Absolutely.
I'm looking at the pictures. Well, folks, I should remind everybody, Pamela Folland is back with us. She has a new picture book that goes with her Megan's World series of books. This one's called Megan Saves the Kittens. It's a picture book that goes with Megan's Munchkins book, her first book in that series. And folks, if you have young children and you are even thinking about getting them a pet, this would be a wonderful, wonderful book to get them. It is a picture book. The pictures are terrific, and it shows them step by step in a format they can readily understand. Let's do a little business right now, Pamela. Let's tell everybody right now how they can get this book and how they can support you, and we'll do it again near the end of the show. But where do they go to get this book?
The easiest way is to go to my website, PamelaFolland.com, and there is links to take you directly to Amazon to purchase the book, and that's the easiest way because all my books are available on Amazon. I'm also doing a lot of holiday shows here locally in the Dallas-Fort Worth area this month. For holiday shoppers that are local, want to come out and see me, I sign copies of the books and we'll sell them at local events here in town, too.
Excellent.
Oh, and I'm real excited. I'm doing book signing at my very first pet show at the end of this month that's in a city here close by to me. So
wow.
That should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
What better place to sell cat books than a cat show?
Exactly. Exactly.
I just have to make sure I stay strong and don't adopt anymore.
Yeah.
That's going to be my biggest challenge.
Yeah, I can't. I support the shelters in our area. Artist First does too. We make donations and things like that. But I got to stay out of there. I'm like you. I want to take them all home. I'll take every single one if I could. I've had up to 11 cats at one time, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
I can't believe my neighbors allowed me to continue to live next door to them, having 11 cats that go in and out. And by the way, I also had, at the same time I had those 11 cats, I had 2 grown guinea pigs and 2 iguanas. It was a zoo, literally. But I'm looking at one of the picture panels in your picture book is... there are 4 images on this page, and each image is you bottle feeding each of the kittens one at a time. What an experience that is. I have several of those bottles, by the way, that is shown in the picture. You can get them anywhere, folks. They're nursing bottles for small animals. Now, what are you putting in there? Do you buy a formula, or do you make up one, you know, using sugars and stuff that you can find the recipes online? How did you go about that?
Well, when I first found the kittens at a day old, they were so dehydrated that they weren't even able to suckle on those bottles. When I first got them home, I literally got a syringe, like a 1cc syringe from my cabinet from one of the medicines my dog had had. I rinsed it out really, really well, cleaned it, and I syringed a couple cc's of water into each of the kittens. Before I went to the pet store to purchase, I purchased the kitten powder formula that all the pet stores have, and there's 5 or 6 different brand names of it. But I was mixing that with the tap water or filtered water to make up their bottles. No, I didn't try and design my own kitten formula.
Now, there's there's some simple recipes. Boy, it's been many years since I did this, but one involves Cairo syrup and making a little concoction that if you can't get to or don't have a pet store where you are, there are simple recipes you can find online that work. At least they worked for us. But there, folks, there is a certain joy that I get, and I'm sure Pamela does too, when you bottle feed a kitten. I mean, come on. And look at these pictures. They just know what to do once you get them going. And I miss those times, man. You know, and all my cats are grown up. It almost makes me want to go out and get them. How many times a day were you bottle feeding them?
Once I got them to take the bottle and got them over their dehydration thing, it was every 3 to 4 hours. Even in the middle of the night, you do not know how long it took me over having to get up at 2 a.m. to feed everybody. I still sometimes wake up at 2 a.m. like, I have isn't the alarm going to go off soon? You know, it took me a couple of years to forget that, oh, I don't have to. I forgot what sleeping through the night was. But it was a lot of fun, and yes, I would do it again in a heartbeat. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience that having them and watching them develop from that young. And the coolest thing is, putting together that picture book was so much fun to go through all the pictures on my computer of their, I call them their baby pictures, and I'll, you know, I'd show the cats. I'll be like, look how tiny you were. Tiny you were. Of course, the cats were looking at me like, oh, mom's lost her mind again. But they don't understand what I'm saying. But
I had
a blast doing that. And yes, I took all those pictures of myself bottle feeding the kittens with one hand while I had the bottle and the kitten in the other hand.
Now, were there certain challenges publishing a book like this because of there's so many color photographs in here that does create some challenges for the printing, or not? Well, how did that work?
Once I found the correct template, I had published my other picture book last summer, Sunny from Outer Space, which is another picture book in the series. And so I had that template down as far as the margins and everything that Amazon requires to be able to publish the picture book. Well, what I found that they didn't tell me is between last year and this year, they changed the margins that they require on the picture book. So I had to go back, and my dad's a huge computer whiz. It was really wonderful at formatting both of the books for me. And he had to go back and change some margins once I figured out that, hey, margins are different. But once we got the pictures within their margin range that they wanted on each page, it was very, very simple, and Amazon does a fantastic job of printing it to where it looks the same in the book as it does on my computer screen or at the pictures that are all over my house. So that was about the biggest challenge of printing the picture book, was just good old human error on my side.
I'm looking at some of these pictures, folks. If you've ever had kittens, boy, is this going to bring back some memories. You forget, as your cats grow up, you forget just how small and utterly helpless they are. Although, the fact that they all stayed together, it would have been a little more difficult to raise a single kitten if you just took one of them or only found one single kitten. Of course, you can raise them too, but the fact that they're able to stay together, one of the reasons cats sleep in piles when they're kittens, ladies and gentlemen, is to keep warm. They rely on each other's body heat. Kittens need to be kept warmer than other cats. Am I wrong?
Right. They cannot regulate their own body temperature until they're closer to 6 weeks old.
Yeah. It's very important that you keep them, because they can die if they get too chilled, too young. The first day I brought the two kittens that I found along the highway, somebody had thrown them out. I brought them home, And they were a little bigger than the pictures of the early cats in your book. They were, anyway, I get up in the morning, I can't find one of them. And I can hear it, but I can't find it. It was in my furnace. Now, thank God it was in the middle of the summer. The furnace wasn't coming on, but it found a way into the cold air duct and slid down the slippery slope of the cold air duct, and I had to open up the furnace and take the filter out to rescue the cats again, which is a good thing.
Oh, no.
I remind Mo about that every time. I'm saving you again, Mo. but talk about some of the challenges once they became mobile and once they were able to get out of the basket and start. Now you've got four little creatures that are pretty much going to do what they want. So what are some of the challenges there? Did you kitten-proof your house?
Oh, yes. Had to. Absolutely had to, because they had to have it safe for four sets of teeth to be roaming around. And, in fact, that's one of the several other things I talk about in Megan Saves the Kittens is stuff that I did. Number one being move all the power cords out of their reach, because kittens are like human babies. They put everything in their mouth. They chew on everything, whether it's meant to be chewed on or not. So I had to move all the power cords away from any area that the kittens were going to be loose at. And also move anything off of the low-lying shelves so that they couldn't knock stuff over and injure themselves that way. And those are two of the lessons that Megan learned with her parents' help, and Megan Saves the Kittens and is discussed in that little picture book. The biggest challenge for me at my house was on the second floor upstairs, there's a loft-like area that has the stair banister overlooking the downstairs living area. Well, little teeny baby kittens can fit right through the bars on the railing, and so I got this clear plastic, it's like a really thin plexiglass, but it's plastic. I don't know how to describe it. Anyway, I have that threaded across, I still to this day, threaded across my railings upstairs so the cats can't get through or get their heads stuck in the railings and go off the second story balcony on my upstairs loft area. So you learn real fast of just how tiny they are. There was a while that they could get under the couch and they could get pretty much anywhere they wanted. They tried to get behind the refrigerator. That was like a mini heart attack, realizing, oh no, I didn't move the power cords from behind the refrigerator. I didn't think of that. But it was fun trying to watch four sets of little feet and teeth running all over the place, these kittens.
And of course, the older they get, the more curious they get and the more stuff they can get into. So I've never found that to be much of a problem, although sometimes there's a big mess to clean up, but they're not, and that's what they do. You just have to expect
that's
it's like,
right.
like a puppy chewing up one of your slippers. Well, what did you expect? That's what they do.
That's right. I remember having to teach them because they were about, I think, 5 weeks old when they learned how to climb the stairs, because I have several pictures of 3- and 4-week-old kittens that they're sitting in front of the stairs and their little heads aren't even up to the top of the steps. So that's how tiny they were. And then 5 weeks old, they learned how to climb the stairs. Well, going up, they had to go a little bit slower because it was some pretty big steps for their little 2-pound bodies. But going down, I remember sitting many nights in the middle of the staircase, blowing them down with my hands because I thought they were going to go somersaulting head over heels down the stairs, trying to run down the stairs so fast. But they've learned it, and now it sounds like a herd of elephants running up and down my stairs when they get excited playing.
And will they fall down the stairs? Of course they will. Absolutely will. Just like little kids do. Do they want to? No, but it's going to happen. They're pretty tough. Tough critters. You know, it's, oh my God, the Gizmo is so beautiful. Gizmo's eyes are blue. It looks like in all these photos that his eyes are blue. Is that right, or is that just a trick of the camera?
All of the kittens' eyes were blue until they were about 12 weeks old. They started changing. Now all of the cats have the yellow, yellow-green eyes.
Wow. I didn't know that happened with cats. I learn something every day. Folks, if you're just joining us, Pamela Fullen is our guest. She is. We are talking about her new picture book. It's called Megan Saves the Kittens. It's wonderful. Folks, if you've ever had kittens, you're going to love this book. Maybe you know somebody that has a child that this would be a great Christmas gift for. Obviously, this was written to be, or I should ask you this and not inform you of it, your audience is for, is this meant to be read to children? Was that your intention when you made the book?
Yes, it was. It's about 1,000 words in length, so it should be able to be read to. I'm hoping that even a 2-, 3-, 4-year-old would enjoy having this book read to them. And it's simple enough that my 6-year-old niece can read it to me, and she loves all the pictures in the book as well. So it's easy for someone learning to read to start reading it as well. But yes, it's geared for the 3- to 6-year-old age bracket.
Well, and what a wonderful way to get a young child interested in animals and their welfare. Anybody that looks at this collection of pictures, if you aren't, I've been sitting here with a smile on my face the whole hour just looking at these pictures, remembering of what it was like. And, oh, my God, what a wonderful gift it is to have kittens. Now, how did you know when it was time to take them off the bottle and get them on solid foods? You just started introducing it to them at some point?
I was reading as much as I could in books and on the internet, but honestly, it was the wonderful veterinarian that I was working with that really helped guide me to know what to do when it came to weaning them off the bottle. And what Dr. Lushka had me do was ask 4 and 5 weeks of age, he told me to get the 100% beef and water baby food. That's human baby food that comes in the little jars that's by Gerber and a whole bunch of different brands.
Yeah.
Not get anything else but just pure beef baby food and start mixing that into the formula. So it was half a jar of baby food that I would mix into the formula when I was making up the 4 bottles for the kittens. And it was to give them the idea and what the taste of meat protein was going to taste like. And he explained to me that beef was safe because it's not a very common allergy. And sometimes, you know, you think of chicken being a very, very obvious one to give to them, but some cats and small animals, dogs and kittens, will have an allergy to that large quantity of chicken when their digestion systems are first learning to process meat protein. And so that's why he had me start introducing with the beef baby food mixed into their formula. Oh my gosh, I remember the first night that I mixed up this formula of kitten formula, powder, water, and a little bit of beef baby food in their bottle, and I offered it to them. They took, you know, they're always excited to take the bottle, but they took the bottle, took a couple sips. Every one of their eyes just lit up, got super big, and they started sucking harder and faster than they ever had. I remember that they about doubled what they were eating all of a sudden when I started introducing that beef baby food into their bottles. And then I did that for about a week or 10 days, and then I started also introducing just the beef baby food into a little kitty food dish and started letting them lap that off of my finger is what I had to do initially. And then when they were 6 weeks old, I started introducing them to the canned cat food. And I had to make like a, I call this kitten smoothie because it was the formula, the milk, the baby food, and the kitten food all stirred together in this liquid formula is what they would eat out of the bowl. And then just gradually, once I introduced them to the kitten food, one, it was more solid consistency, so they were getting full and it was staying with them longer. And so I wasn't having to feed them as often, but it also just started, it was amazing. It was like a natural process that they instinctively started taking the bottle less and less and less until they just refused the bottle flat out and just wanted the kitten food.
Yeah, they're very smart. Cats are very smart. Most animals are smart. It's only the stupid humans that think they're not smart that think we are so superior. Now, I've fed my cats kitten chow their entire lives. There is always a bowl of kitten chow available 24 hours a day, every day, and water. Now, I feed them a lot of other canned foods and crepe. I feed my cats a lot of food, canned food, moist food, as I call it. But I always keep the bowl of kitten chow, and they love it. They prefer it to all. I've tried every brand of adult cat food. Some, they'll eat a little bit of it, but they've developed this taste. And I asked my vet, and the vet said, oh, that's no problem. He said there's a little bit of extra fat in there. He goes, if your cats get too obese, take it away. Well, that's never happened. I don't. You ever heard of that where cats prefer kitten chow? And most of my cats live into their 20s, ladies and gentlemen. I raise them good. Have you ever heard of that?
Wow.
Yeah, most.
I may convert my cats back to kitten chow because my cats are on adult formula, knowing that they live that long. Yes, I have heard that because I've experienced that because Salem was off of kitten chow, but man, he wanted chow. I think it's that smell of extra fat and protein. It's like junk food to a human. And so definitely that I had to watch Salem because he was getting very chunky because he was stealing bites of the kitten food when I was had the kittens on kitten formula.
Well, the pieces of kitten chow are smaller, obviously, for the smaller mouths of kittens, but it also helps my cats when they become geriatric. I lost a cat last year. He was over 22 years old. He was born in my bedroom under my bed, and he lived here for, and all his brothers and sisters all made it into their 20s. Yeah, go figure. I don't know. Now, are these cats, will they be indoor cats for where you are, or will they ever go outside?
No, they're strictly inside cats. I live in Dallas, which is a big city in Texas, and there's just too many cars, and, well, here I've even got possums and coyotes and other wild and other feral cats that I just don't want anything to happen to these guys, so I keep them in the house.
Yeah, we have we actually have coyotes here in Ohio. I've seen two of them this past summer, only about a mile away from my home, and my cats go in and out. I actually have a pet door that lets, you know, they come and go as they please, and that worries me every time they go out. And I do worry about them getting hit by a car. I only had one, and I don't want to dwell on this, but I've only had one in all the years I've had. I had one cat that was showing signs of Alzheimer's that got hit by a car because I think she just didn't realize where she was. So that's a huge concern. Otherwise, I think they know. In fact, there's a cat. We have two rescue cats here at the station that are living out their lives here. We found them, and we brought them in here because I had too many cats at home, so I figured, well, they can live here at the station. They're very loved, and they're pampered, like unbelievably pampered here, and they have good lives here. Well, we are spending time with you, I'm always in a good mood, Pamela, when you come on the station, because we get to talk about things that are wonderful in life. And one of those things, folks, is kittens. The book we've been talking about is Megan Saves the Kittens. We have about 2 minutes left. What would you like to include in the program that we haven't already told our listeners?
Gosh, we've covered a lot. I am going to have another picture book, the second book of from the Sunny from Outer Space book, which is about my dog. That's going to come out the start of next year. I'm going to have another chapter book in the Megan's World series, Megan to the Rescue, will come out next summer. So I'm just going to keep having new books so I can keep coming back on this show, because it's always great talking to you.
Oh, and the work you're doing there is outstanding. We support you and all the books that you do, and you have friends here at this station. Just keep up the good work. Ladies and gentlemen, you could do help a lot by getting out there and getting your own copy of Megan Saves the Kittens. And for folks that might have just tuned in late, Pamela, tell them again how they can acquire your books.
My books are on Amazon. The easiest way to find them is go to my website, PamelaFoland.com, and they'll have direct links and information, synopsis on the books, and direct links to take you to purchase any of the books on Amazon.
Well, congratulations on another great product, and oh my God, my face hurts from smiling. I don't smile that much anymore. And oh my God, the joy that these kittens can bring for those people like you and me that enjoy these types of things. It's fantastic. Megan Saves the Kittens. It's part of the Megan's World series of books, and it's all Pamela's website is listed on our homepage and our archive page. And that is PamelaFoland.com, just like it sounds. Well, have a target date for the new book that's coming out?
No, it's going to be probably March or so of next year. I just got an illustrator lined up to do the work, so we're going to get busy on it here in January.
Well, Mo has, one of the cats, just decided when I started talking about her, she just jumped up on the table here. She lives here at the station, and she occasionally knocks the phone off the hook or steps on the control board and knocks us off the air a couple times. She thinks she runs this place. Mo, you got to get out of here. Here, come here. She's a beautiful tortoise shell colored, I don't know what they call that, tortoise shell or I don't know.
Calico.
Thank you. My brain just went dead there. Well, you're one of the good ones, Pamela. We need more people on Earth like Pamela Foland, folks. This would be a much better place to live on this planet if we had more folks like Miss Foland. Please come back when you're ready. Pamela, this is the place for you. You have friends here, and we enjoy speaking with you and getting the good word out about all that you do.
I enjoyed it, too. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, folks. We have It's Just Us Radio coming your way in about 60 seconds. We ran right up to the final mark there. So thanks for tuning in. Get out there and get your copy of this book or any of the books in the Megan's World series. Again, this one's called Megan Saves the Kittens. It's a picture book, and you can get your copy right now at Amazon.com. Pam, if you can stay on the line just for a moment, I'd like to speak with you off the air.
Sure.
All right, folks, stay tuned. Charlene Bowden and It's Just Us Radio follows this broadcast coming up in about 60 seconds.